It's Will Sean Podcast. The internet cried out for two more blowhards, and they courageously answered that call. Armed with the weapon of wit, each week they're joined by guests to discuss movies, television, pop culture, and anything else that's pissing them off. Take it away, boys.
I'm Will Link.
And I'm Sean David.
And this is Will Sean Podcast.
All the way to the ends of the earth and beyond. How you doing, Will?
So this weekend, you know, I live here in L.A., and this weekend I discovered more than I ever had that that show, which was once the enemy of the podcast, by the way, Entourage, is so true to life. Because I had an Entourage-esque weekend where I discovered that I was, unfortunately, turtled.
I could have told you that without you having to have an Entourage-esque weekend.
I was with our good friend of the podcast, TV's Nick Wexler from the show Revenge. He had to go to this club for a birthday party. Me and him both hate clubs, which is probably why he dragged me along. We show up at this club. The owner of the club, or manager of the club, recognized him. We were treated like fucking kings. I hate clubs because you can't hear anything, and it's annoying, and there's like strobe lights in your face. If I could go to a club all the time and have all the drinks for free, and beautiful women who are our private waitresses, well, then I'd be there every week.
And, of course, I'm sure you tipped this beautiful woman handsomely.
I drank a lot and didn't realize that I had to. But maybe Nick did. I don't know. I don't remember. I just took advantage of all the free booze.
So, sounds like a fantastic weekend. So you'll be going to the club next week?
The manager gave me his business card and said, anything you ever need. So now I'm just going to call him, like, when the car breaks down or, you know, if I'm late at night, I'm looking to do stuff. I'll just call him.
So tell me, Turtle, when are you starting your tequila company?
Yeah, exactly. Or t-shirts. I'll be selling t-shirts with Nick's face on it. What's going on in the world of Will Sean Podcast?
Same old. You know, Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, subscribe, like us, comments. Everything's going well, and we've picked up some more followers, some more likes, so keep at it. And, yeah, keep doing what you're doing.
And who is our sponsor this week?
This week's episode is brought to you by Spring Break.
Oh, Spring Break.
Spring Break.
Spring Break forever.
That's who sponsored this week's episode.
Well, that was... I enjoyed as a sponsor more than I did as a film. On the show this week, speaking of films, new horror film, Evil Dead, coming out. New horror film, that's an old horror film. The Walking Dead ended its run for the season, and there's a guy at the Grand Canyon who's going to be dead. But first, we're very excited to have a terrific band. Two of the members are with us today, Brandon Robbins and Mark Garbett.
That's right.
From The Moth and the Flame. How you guys doing?
Doing good. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thanks.
Welcome to LA, guys.
Thank you.
Now, it's just the two of you here today, but there's a third member of the band.
Right.
He is...
Andrew Tolman.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
So, identify yourselves and tell us which instruments you play.
I'm Brandon. I play guitar and sing.
And I'm Mark. I play keys, sing some backup vocals.
Okay.
Okay.
I feel like if I was in a band, I would end up on the triangle or something.
I would be. I'd be the guy in the Mighty Mighty Boss Stones who just danced. Remember, there was that guy who just danced.
Yep.
So that would be my job.
And you guys clearly were here in this house in the hills overlooking East LA, and you guys told us you just moved here Sunday.
Yeah, yeah, so this last Sunday.
How's Los Angeles been to you so far?
It's been good to us.
It's been very good. We actually got here Monday morning. Okay. On the way out here, our bus broke down, so it took us like 2 days to drive here.
Oh, that's right. We left Sunday, got here Monday.
Where did it break down?
Like a couple hours out of Utah.
Yeah, like in the middle of the mountains.
That's the best, like the Donner Party, basically. Okay, that's where Andrew is.
You
killed
him.
Yeah,
that's why Andrew's not here.
You both are very tall, so, you know.
Well, so you guys are from Utah. How did this band form? How did you guys meet, come together?
We met in Provo, Utah, which is south of Salt Lake, like 45 minutes.
Okay.
Just met through the music scene there. There's a pretty, like, happening, burgeoning music scene in Provo right now. And so we all met through somewhere or another.
Craigslist.
In the scene.
were you all already like parts of bands? Were you all looking to get into a band? Like, how did that, like, where were you at musically when you guys came together?
So Mark and I specifically were in another band, actually, and then we're in the same band. And then that band split, and so we started doing kind of our own thing. And then Andrew, a couple years after Mark and I started working on stuff, he was in Las Vegas in another band, and then he moved back to Utah, and a venue owner down there had mentioned that, because he knew we were looking for a drummer, and
you'd already gotten rid of Pete Best, so
yeah, exactly. So he linked us up.
Okay.
So you're the second guest in a month from Utah, and both of you guys and this other guest have mentioned that Utah has a very vibrant art scene, music scene, comedy scene, which, you know, would be a little counterintuitive. But so you mentioned you played South by Southwest, but I guess as much as there is going on in Utah, eventually you got to come to Los Angeles. That's kind of where everything happens.
Yeah, I guess it seems that way.
I feel like almost wherever you are, wherever you start with anything, even being from New York, there's this desire
You're from Long Island.
But I mean, it's close enough. There's this desire to, I gotta go somewhere else to try something. Because, I mean, I think it's part of just living and creating, and you have to go to new environments. I was wondering, the name of the band, The Moth and the Flame, how did you come up with that?
That's a long story, but...
The next 40 minutes of the podcast.
Yeah, prepare yourselves.
And my great-grandfather, when coming through Ellis Island...
His last words were...
something in Latin, I'm not quite sure, but...
We thought it meant the moth and the flame, and that's how it all turned out. And if you're going to ask who's the moth and who's the flame, the answer is, we are the moth. No. Everyone else is the flame.
Or the other way around.
Vice versa.
Oh, well, this will make...
trying to confuse you.
Okay, so
either way.
We're all the moths that come to you, the flame.
Exactly.
You know what? I liked the name of the band when I heard it. I like it even more now.
Well, you know, when we were trying to name this podcast, I was like, what should we call it? I got to call it something clever. So, nah, I just ended up jumbling our names around and throwing a question mark in there. So, okay, so the moth and the flame. And you guys have been together now for how long?
We just released our first album a little over a year ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So. And we are going to actually listen to a song from that album
later on in the episode,
yeah, so
called How We Woke Up. Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you about this album, because we went to your website, and there was this message on there that said that you were only releasing it in the physical form. So I guess I got to ask, why?
Partially, you know, it's a couple reasons, I guess. Partially, you know, we wanted to kind of throw back to the old days when you'd actually buy a physical album and enjoy the artwork. The bigger reason is enjoying the artwork, actually. It's just like the art was very much a process, or like a part of the process of making the album. And so we kind of were torn on just, you know, having people download it digitally and not even know or see, you know, the artwork. So really, it brings, I don't know, it's just this extra experience.
Who did the artwork for the album?
It's these photographers from New York, Kahn and Selznick.
Okay.
They're really amazing.
Really rad.
Now, you know what, there's something I totally get about that, because it does feel like such a weird, different experience now with albums. Like, there are songs, or there are albums I have, because I just got them on iTunes, and I'm listening to them on iPod, I don't even know sometimes the names of them, I haven't really looked over, whereas albums I bought in, like, high school and stuff, I knew every track listing, I knew the order, and I knew the order they should. There's that great scene in Boogie Nights, where Alfred Molina's character is going nuts, and he's made these mixtapes, and he's like, I don't want to listen to the music and the way the artist, I want to listen to songs when I want to listen to them. But there's, when you put together an album, you have an idea of, I'm going to take you on this journey, right? From this song to this song, and you should listen to the whole thing, not just download one song from iTunes, then another some other time.
Yep, and that's exactly what this was, is that was kind of an attempt to have people listen to the album as an experience, and not just like the single or whatever.
The first track of the album is the artwork, and so that.
Okay.
So the second track is technically the first track.
Yeah.
Kind of confusing.
Now, so do you guys still? I gotta ask, and maybe I'm putting you on the spot. Do you guys still buy a lot of albums yourselves? Or are you just as guilty as the rest of us to download stuff?
Okay, you're the first person to catch us. Yeah, I have not bought an album in a while, other than just local musicians. I mean,
we buy lots of albums, actually.
Like,
you got a whole copy of Taylor Swift bands Red that here. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
When we go see bands, like at South By, we bought a lot of albums.
Oh, yeah, well, that's... Yeah. So. At shows and stuff, you support the other bands.
Well, that's currency in South by Southwest. You're just bartering albums the whole time. What's that like? You guys just came back, played South by Southwest. Both myself and Will, like, we won't go to a Coachella or Bernie. There's just, our anxiety will just kill us.
We're too neurotic.
South by Southwest just seems like overkill and overwhelming.
It is. It's pretty crazy.
It's crazy.
It is definitely overwhelming, that's for sure. Parking is a disaster.
Yeah.
Well, welcome to Los Angeles.
Yeah.
But if you're not going around with all this gear and having to tool around,
right.
You know, guitars
and amps.
Yeah,
trying to park a bus is...
So how did the show
terrible.
Go at South by Southwest?
Great.
Really good.
Really good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, now you hit the road. You're going. Where are some of your favorite places that you've been, around?
I would have to say Chicago is my favorite place.
It's an
for
awesome
sure.
City.
Yeah.
I have shamefully never been to Chicago.
If Chicago were on the West Coast, it would be the best city in this country.
Yep, it would.
Because of the weather, it loses some points.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been there several times and I love it. It's the best time. If you ever go to Chicago, people, you want to be there late September, first week of October.
Yep, that's exactly when we went, and it was amazing. Probably, yeah.
And they have a good music scene there.
Yeah,
it's the best.
Yeah, it's very very good. Actually,
food was incredible.
Yeah,
everything we ate was just amazing.
Oh, Taste of Chicago.
Cold. Yeah,
I've been to Taste
of
Chicago too. I had a heat stroke. It was phenomenal. I stayed outside too long. We were taking the train back to the suburbs, and I started just seeing fishes in front of my vision, and I was on the train trying to grab the fishes, and my friend goes, I don't think you're okay.
Well, that's an interesting Chicago story. And I gotta ask you guys, so you're out on the road, any crazy story you could tell us? Anything, any wacky, even just getting to LA, your bus broke down. So, I mean, I imagine being out on the road, crazy things happen all the time.
Yeah, we have at least one story every trip. That's pretty great.
There's always crazy stuff.
Can you lay one on?
So we parked our bus outside. We're in this cul-de-sac, basically. And in our bus, we have...
it's in like San Jose, I think.
Yeah, we have this like big loft bed in the back that we installed. And so some of us were... Mark and I, actually, were going to stay in the bus while some others went in to stay at a friend's house. We were going to stay out and, watch the gear. And then, as we're about to go to sleep, there's this car pulls up and a bunch of people get out, and we're kind of wondering like what's going on, because it was kind of a strange place to park for them, and
neighborhood.
Yeah,
too.
Sketchy neighborhood. We hear some rustling and stuff, and then turns out that these group of kids are like teepeeing this house that we're parked right outside of. Well, it just so happens that in our shows we use this like bullhorn for one of the songs.
Oh.
And so I grab this bullhorn and put it, wait until they're like right in front of the house, and flip on the siren. It sounds just like a cop siren.
It's so
and
loud.
And it is unbelievably loud. Like, we turned that on and they just started flipping out. They're just running and like you could see the fear in their eyes.
You know they drove like 12 miles before they even turned around to look behind them.
Yeah,
they just went out of there.
Well, the funny thing is it was a group of like teenage, preteen girls. And like when they heard the siren, they just started swearing like sailors, and they just like ran to their car.
Yeah, they knew their life was over.
That's, if only you had a big light too that you could just turn on a floodlight. That's great.
Oh, that would be the complete package with that.
The funniest part of the story is once that happened, everyone in that house just like piled out, and they're just like, "What's going on? Oh, they TP'd us. We're gonna get them." So like some of them jumped in cars and like went after, and they were just like, we could hear everything they were saying, but nobody even thought about like that there was a siren. There was one guy that was like, "Where did that siren come from?" And nobody even acknowledged it.
No one even was like,
"Be quiet, Billy."
The children know.
Yeah.
Well, so basically, you started a Hatfield McCoy type situation. They went there and they just slaughtered them.
Yeah.
It's funny when you're young and when you hear siren, your instinct is to, like, now if a siren came to us, we're all older, we'd probably be like, uh-oh, we better behave or we'll get shot. But yeah. Me as a kid, like, when there were a few times where we were running from police, like, that we hadn't done it. Yeah, no, I've been at some, like, parties that have gotten broken up by police, and you just run.
Yep.
You just run. Me and my friends were at a bonfire at a beach once where you can't have bonfires, and there were all these people, and the cops showed up, and they started arresting people.
They started opening fire
on the teenagers of Long Island. And I remember the cops had come, and me and three of my friends just booked down the beach, and I said, we're just going to keep running. We're going to run for miles down the beach. I said, I am not getting a ticket. I'm not going
to... We don't stop till we get to the Hamptons.
Basically, and we just kept running and running and running, and like an hour later, we went back. The cops were still there. But so much time has passed, I was able to convince the cops that I was not part of what had happened, that we had just been some people strolling on the beach, and they bought it. So... good for me.
Yes.
There you
eluding
go.
The law. I also, you know, we don't get enough musical guests, so I also want to ask you, what are some, I guess, influences on you guys as artists? Like, who are some other bands, musicians, that you like?
I remember in high school, I picked up my first Sparkle Horse album.
Oh, nice.
And that's drastically changed my life. And so that's definitely like a huge, huge influence for me.
I mean, the first time I ever heard Sparkle Horse, he was on the soundtrack for The Departed. Want to say, yeah, he did the cover of Shine On You Crazy Diamond. Is that right?
I don't recall.
I think it was a Pink Floyd song. It was on that album.
Okay.
And yeah, heard him go, wow, this is different.
Yeah. Definitely different.
Yeah. Wow. I've loved Neil Young since I was, like, in middle school.
So Sparkle Horse and Crazy Horse.
Yeah, exactly.
One of the first concerts I've ever been to, in fact, I think the first concert I ever went to, it was a big, like, big festival tour, I don't know, not a festival like we were talking, it was just at Jones Beach on Long Island, but it was I went to see Beck. Beck was playing, but Neil Young was like the headliner of the whole tour. So I saw, I hadn't even gone for Neil Young, but I got to see him, which was fantastic as well.
Plus.
So you go for Beck and you get Neil Young too. So it was a pretty damn good show, especially for like a first
concert. That's great. Yeah, Beck is also an influence for sure.
Yeah, I imagine. I was at a after party. I'd been to a taping of Saturday Night Live years ago, and he was the musical guest, and I was at an after party. And Beck was there, and me and my friend were like, oh, we gotta talk to Beck, because we've loved him from, like, middle school. We were listening to his albums. So we go over to him, and we're talking to him. And he was nice. He seemed a little slightly distracted, but he was engaging. And then, as it always does when you talk to somebody you admire or something like that, you realize you're losing them in the conversation. They can't talk to you all night, and you want to talk to them all night. And we didn't know how to keep Beck in the conversation, and my friend just blurted out, man, you know, I've been listening to you since I was in like the seventh grade, and you're the best. And Beck just looked at him, he's like, man, you just made me feel old. And he wandered away, and I'm like, you insulted Beck, what the fuck's wrong with you? And then, obviously, wasn't really insulting. We found him later at the party, and we're like, we're sorry we made you feel old, and he, like, shook our hands, and we walked off. So he was a good guy.
Yeah.
Good guy, Beck.
I actually was at a party at the House of Blues that Apple Computers hosted. My father used to work for them. It was an Oscars party. And so I had VIP access. I was 17 years old, and it was 21 and over party. My dad hooked me up, and I was terrified the whole night that someone would figure out that I shouldn't be there. So I just, like a shark, I didn't stop moving the whole night, and I had access to full. And I was sitting up there upstairs in the House of Blues, and Jesse Ventura was sitting at a table with a bunch of people, and Beck being one of them, and he was telling stories from the campaign trail. Beck was just sitting there drinking heavily before he went on stage, and it was a weird night. I just sat there. I didn't make eye contact with anyone. I was afraid they were going to kick me out at any second. I was trying to act old, but I was 17. I didn't know what it meant to act older.
You didn't know what it was like to be a man, even though you had been bar mitzvahed.
This is true, yes, but that's kind of a cop-out, yeah. Turning 13 means you're a man. Back when at 13 and a half, they put you in the fields, and you get married at 16. So nowadays, it doesn't mean shit. Give me money, Grandma.
So let me ask you guys, before we move on, shows you got coming up or website, give our listeners all the information where they can go get this album and
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You can buy the album on our website, howwewokeup.com. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter. You know, all the social media places. We're there. Shows. We have the residency at the Silver Lake Lounge for April.
Oh, nice.
So we'll be there every Monday night.
Okay.
This month.
At 10.
Yeah, 10 p.m.
Oh, that's great. So, and there'll be information about that, I guess, up on the Facebook page and all that. So go there. And if you are a good listener of the podcast, you've already been to our Facebook page and seen all of this. And if you are a great listener of the podcast, you have already bought their album and are listening to it right now, even though you just heard about it for the first time. So, listen, I know you guys have been moving and out on the road and stuff, but do you want to attempt to break down some things we're looking forward to in pop culture this week with us?
Let's try this and see where this goes.
Well, you know, you mentioned South by Southwest, and there's a lot of films that play there now as well. And one of the big ones was Evil Dead premiered there. The new Evil Dead. Did you guys see the original Evil Dead? Are you horror movie guys?
No, I don't like horror films, actually, myself.
I did see Evil Dead 2.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
the campier of
yeah,
them.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I saw that one. I don't think I ever saw Evil Dead.
The original
Dead,
one. Did you ever see Army of Darkness?
Yeah, I did see
okay,
that.
So,
yep.
So, okay, okay.
For those of you who don't need Army of Darkness,
yeah.
actually.
Okay, so there you go.
Evil Dead is the classic horror film directed by Sam Raimi, who later went on to direct such classics as A Simple Plan, For the Love of the Game, and
I think a couple of Spider-Man movies.
A few Spider-Man movies, yes. And perhaps an Oz film that's in theaters now. But it's a really schlocky, low-budget horror film that is notorious for its tongue-in-cheek sense of humor and the copious amounts of blood that are employed.
There's also a tree rape in it, to be fair.
A tree rapes a woman, not a tree gets raped.
Yes. We're not trees raping each other, because that would just be perverse.
Isn't that in Oz?
That is in Oz. There's, there's a scene where James Franco rapes a tree. But,
Spring break.
Well, maybe we could... I mean, you're not a horror movie guy, Mark, but this new Evil Dead is coming out, and I tell you what, I am actually... In the world of pointless remakes, this is the pointless remake that I think is actually going to be good. And I'll tell you why. A couple of reasons. One, it's all practical effects. There is no CGI in this, which I think, and I think guys who are talking about the physical form of the album have got to appreciate something like this, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Like, when the actress is getting thrown around, it's not some CG girl. They're throwing and beating the hell out of
the actress. Yeah, they buried her alive. They had tankers, like what you would see to fill up a gas station full of blood that they used on the set, just tens of thousands of gallons of, you know, fake blood that they drenched everyone in. They have a rubber tree. The tree rape scene is in there.
Yeah.
But they use men in tree suits, and the tree rapes a woman, so...
And a lot of people are saying they look at this, and I don't know if you've seen the trailer. We've said rape a lot in this episode, as you guys give each other a knowing look. I'm like, we've said rape a lot here, but...
No more than usual.
No more than usual. But the, in the trailer, everyone who saw it, they said, oh, it looks really scary. With the other ones you said, that was kind of campy. It's kind of a little bit fun. This one looks straight up scary. But I think the original was supposed to be really scary. It's just that it was so low budget that it came out kind of campy. And then Evil Dead 2, they embraced the campiness. I think this is going to be really good. I think it's going to be better than the slick, like, Halloween and Texas Chainsaw Massacre remakes that we have. I think this one's going to be visceral and crazy and horrific, and I know you're thrilled. You're thrilled to go see
it. You look scared just sitting there.
Is Bruce Campbell in this film?
There's been a lot of talk of rape.
Not.
And
Bruce
Campbell.
Is
he going to have a cameo?
I don't think so. He produced it.
Okay.
So Bruce Campbell's involved.
Okay.
I know. It's tough with
maybe
that.
He's the
pretty
man
depressing.
In the tree costume.
Maybe. Now, if you just you've never been into horror movies, never was it? Were you scared by one at a young age?
Yeah,
you...
it must have just been a traumatic experience. I don't know. I can't.
You know,
get into
like...
those scary films.
I think what happened was you were watching a horror movie, and then out of nowhere, a siren went off, and it scared the shit out of you. And you've been traumatized ever since.
Well, maybe you're not a fan of horror movies, but when I was looking at some horror-related stuff for The Evil Dead coming out, I found this thing called The Great Horror Campout. There is a company here in California that has a camp in which you spend the night, you pay to spend the night at the camp, and someone dressed as a slasher maniac tries to hunt you down, and I guess, I'm assuming, fake kill you, and you see if you could survive the night. You guys look terrified by this.
That's the worst idea I've ever heard.
Thinking about that made me want to go in my room.
You would never
hide under the covers.
You've never thought, like, could I survive this? I mean, if you're not watching those, but I mean, could I survive, like, a zombie apocalypse or a slasher film?
Oh, I've definitely thought about zombie apocalypse. But I always assumed I would just die.
This house, by the way, not very defensible.
No.
Should the zombies come.
Yeah.
We're in a cul-de-sac on the edge of a mountain. We're done for.
This is the perfect set for slasher murder. This house. Secluded.
I apologize if our podcast has given you nightmares. But I don't know. I don't know. Sean, would you do this?
I think would be fun to go with, like, a group of people. A group of co-eds, if you will. And this could be fun, maybe.
As long as some people don't know about it.
That would be even better. If you could somehow get people to say, we're going camping to this place, it's supposed to be good and really rustic. Oh my goodness, that would be fun.
Now, here's my thing. What if I'm, like, killed, like, in the first 10 minutes? What do I do for the rest of my camp experience?
Oh, I was going to make a really terrible joke, but I should... Okay, never mind.
You were going to make some Holocaust comment, weren't you?
No.
Anyway. I mean, I don't know, I guess. Did you guys go to camp? Did you ever go to camp as a kid?
Yeah, we went to camp.
Boy Scout camp, just burning things.
Exactly.
And people getting hurt.
That's what camp is. Builds character and knits new bones.
That's what scouting is.
I went to a... you know, that would be the better thing. I have kids one day, and this is a summer camp. I send them. I send them to the real camp, Crystal Lake, and see if my kids are man enough to survive, man or woman enough
to
survive.
This reminds me of something that I heard about years ago. It's in Texas, and this could be totally made up. I got this lodged in my head. I heard it somewhere. They take you out on a boat at night, out far enough away that you can no longer see the lights from land. And they have an area in the Gulf there that's sort of cordoned, it's a cordoned off area, and they have a floating platform set up. They put you on, they dock at the floating platform, everyone goes into inner tubes, and it's kind of roped in, so you can't really drift away too far, maybe it's tethered to the dock. They have a platform set up and a screen, and you're in the middle of the ocean at midnight, and they play Jaws, and you are floating in an inner tube in the water in the middle of nothing, and there's no light around you except for the light from the projector, and that's how you watch Jaws. And I kind of want to do this.
That sounds amazing.
That sounds terrifying.
That sounds awfully amazing.
If I ran that, I would hire scuba divers to come in and just, like, grab people's feet in the middle of the movie.
Would you guys do that?
I think I would do that.
I would do that over slasher.
Yeah. Rather than being in a camp where someone could come and kill you. I mean, I guess I watch all these movies and I wonder, like, if I survive. And I actually, you know, we mentioned zombie apocalypse before. I actually have always felt, for some completely misguided reason, because I have no survival skills, that I would do okay in a zombie apocalypse. I don't know why. I think it's because I've read the zombie survival guide, so I just assume.
Well, you're written by Mel Brooks' son, so you're
and
set.
He knows
you're well read.
Yeah, I'm well read on it. I've seen many movies. Let me ask you this, Brendan, because you seem to perk up a little bit with zombie apocalypse. So do you like zombie films? Do you like that stuff?
Sometimes, yeah. Not always.
Do you watch The Walking Dead?
I've seen The Walking Dead. I can't say that I watch it.
Well, again, on the road and doing... You're living life. We're just schlubs who sit around L.A. watching... You're creating music.
Embarrassing amounts of movies and television.
Yeah, we just talk about movies into a microphone on a podcast.
Yeah.
So I could give you a pass for being behind on The Walking Dead.
See, the one thing The Walking Dead did do that I've always thought I would do is they had the katana sword.
Yes.
Which always made sense to me.
That's a fantastic zombie weapon because it's not like a gun where it's making a lot of sound to attract more zombies. There's length, there's distance with it.
Yeah, you don't have to reload.
Yeah.
And also a well-made samurai sword, a katana sword, almost sharpens itself. You almost never need to resharpen it. So.
Exactly.
But, you know, the second half of that is you actually have to know how to use the fucking thing. You can't. You're like, oh, good, I have a katana sword. We're safe.
The Hattori Hanzo sword. The Walking Dead had its season finale this week. and it shattered all the records. 12 million viewers, which is like the highest they've ever had, and they're already the highest rated cable television show. They beat the networks all the time. It's kind of amazing. And, you know, I know there's been some divisiveness about the finale. I actually enjoyed that the villain, the governor, he survived for another season. And I like this because it doesn't mean they have to manufacture a new villain. It's like, we have a good villain. Why do we have to wait a year and now create a whole new guy? Like, let's deal with the old guy, but, like, make him a little crazier or different.
I'm surprised that they allowed Carl, the 12-year-old child, to get ripped to shreds by zombies, though. That was pretty gruesome.
See, now...
No.
Now, that didn't happen.
There are child zombies, but we don't get to see any children actually die in The Walking Dead, sadly.
Have we seen a girl become a zombie? A little girl become a zombie?
Did we see her become, or she just was one?
She was just a zombie.
She was playing hide and go seek in the barn.
I guess we don't see enough children being slaughtered.
None of issues.
Yeah, I don't know what you guys think of us. All we're talking about in essence is rape and children being slaughtered. But here's what's interesting to me. The Walking Dead is clearly the highest rated show on this network. And yet I feel the face of AMC is the show Mad Men. And that returns this week. With a big 2-hour premiere. Do you guys watch Mad Men?
Same answer. Seen it?
A little bit.
Yeah. Seen a little bit of it.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Is there anything you guys watch consistently?
Days of Our Lives.
Mike, anything you watch consistently?
I've actually been watching some anime recently.
Naruto?
Really awesome. I love Naruto.
Naruto's cool.
Bleach. There's this newer one. It's called Hunter, Hunter, Hunter.
Hunter, Hunter?
It's pretty awesome.
Is that easier because you can watch it online or it's available? Okay. Yeah, I had a roommate, Uri, who was obsessed with Naruto and tried to explain it to me. And he's like, well, there's a lot of episodes and there's episodes that there's a lot of plot and then they have to kind of have gap episodes because the comic books, the hentai books, haven't caught up yet with haven't caught up yet with the show and... I never could get into it, but it's basically, it's like animated soap opera in a way, isn't it?
Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah, they're pretty emotional.
They have a lot of heart. It's really great.
So that's when you're on the road, this is what you're kind of ingesting off your computer and stuff like that?
Nah, we mainly just read when we're on the road.
Yeah, audiobooks.
Oh, well read. Look at you guys.
Fancy. What do you guys like to read? Or I'll listen to...
I'm on my way through like the second or third time of Count of Monte Cristo right now.
Okay.
And that's a definite favorite of mine.
Oh, nice. Yeah. The classics.
Yeah.
Good.
In French, no less.
Yeah, I've been polishing up with my French.
Yeah, actually last year I read the 20 Years After, the sequel to The Three Musketeers, and it's pretty much the same plot, just 20 years after. It's a lot of swashbuckling and a lot of mid-17th century French politics, but it's a fun book.
Dumas cashing in.
Yeah, well, you know, that guy wrote, you know, if we go on a quick Dumas tangent.
Please.
That guy knew how to make a buck, let me tell you. If you read about his biography, he was a fantastic marketer, and he was just flamboyant, and he wrote incredibly fast, and he knew how to give the people what he wanted. And he lived a big life. A lot of women, a lot of money, a lot of estates, he came from like peasant stock, and he really made something of himself. And he just, he wrote these potboilers that are just shit tons of fun. So yeah, that's my Dumas rant.
That's this week's Will Sean Podcast Dumas Corner with Sean. Well, I am not reading anything high-minded. Is that true?
No.
Yeah, I'm not reading anything high-minded. So instead, I'm watching lots of Mad Men. And the 2-hour premieres, and they're always very coy with the footage. They never tell you what's going to be happening next week. They always just show, like, and it's an old joke, but they always just show, like, someone opening a door, and, like, it's time, and, like, we gotta go. And it's like, what is this? Like, I can't believe you. Like, what, you know.
Yeah, the next on Mad Men's have, I think they parodied on SNL.
Yeah.
Where they almost go out of their way to reveal nothing, but they aggressively reveal nothing about the next episode to where it becomes like a meditation on meaninglessness. It's hilarious in how, I don't know, I don't even know why I watch them.
I don't know why, but every week they're like, I'm like, oh, what's next week? And it fools me every week that I think they're going to give me something. They haven't. There was a promo for season 6 that we're about to have, and they're like, oh, here's a preview of season 6, and it was all footage of season 5. And I'm like, why am I watching this? But I'm sucked in. They suck me in every time.
Fuck you, Matthew
Weiner. Ugh. But I'm excited for this Mad Men coming back, and I'm excited for the whole. I say we bring back the whole 60s style back.
No.
No?
No. What do you guys think about the 60s?
I'm into it.
Right. Yeah, see, you're with me.
Yeah.
Depends on who's who has the style.
Oh, that's true.
There's a lot of bad...
Maybe if we're all females, I'd be good with it.
Okay, there you go. Let's bring back... I want to bring back the women of the 60s and free love. I want more free love. God damn it.
How about... You also want no AIDS.
No AIDS, free love. This is what I'm.
Yes, you know, syphilis and herpes, though.
If my new persona is going to be turtle, I have to take what I could get. So I want free love. That's my new persona. Well, anyway, I'm going to be watching. Sean, you're going to be watching, and you're.
We'll hear about it in the papers.
You'll read about it. Listen to the podcast.
Yeah, well,
a couple of weeks from now, we'll tell you everything that happened in the season.
What the hell are the papers?
We don't know.
Okay. Well. You know, Sean, you always go about saying how if someone jumped out of an airplane,
with
or without a parachute, and they died, that it's not tragic. They knew what they were getting into when they jumped out of an airplane, and you would not waste your time attending the funeral because you're a busy man.
Not attending the funeral. No one told you to jump out of an airplane. It was an avoidable activity.
Well, there's this guy, and I wonder what his friends are thinking. His name is Nick Wallenda. And he is planning to walk across the Grand Canyon on a tightrope with no harness. Now, you guys have been out on the road. Have you been to the Grand Canyon? You ever seen the Grand Canyon?
Yeah.
It's pretty fucking huge. I've been there. It's gigantic.
What movie was that where they get there and it's like it's just a big fucking hole? Or the biggest hole in the... Is that Vacation?
I don't know. I think you might be thinking of the previews for the Seth Rogen, Barbara Streisand comedy, The Guilt Trip.
That could be it.
But anyway, it's gigantic. It's huge. I hiked like halfway down, and I said, well, this isn't going to work. And I went back up because it's gigantic. Now, this guy is going to do this. He's going to attempt this. He's a daredevil. He's a stuntman. He's going to do this. And not only that, he's going to do it on live television. The Discovery Channel is broadcasting this live for everyone in America and I guess the world to see. So basically, this guy is forcing all of us to watch his suicide. He's got a death wish, and we're gonna put the kids in front of the TV, and we're gonna watch him die. We're gonna watch him fall to his death. And I don't like this, and I don't think it's right, and I'm not gonna go to your funeral, Nick Wallenda. And that is why you are the enemy of the podcast. Fuck you, Nick Lawenda. You can't subject us to your death. You can't make us culpable to this crime against yourself. I don't like it. It's no good. Ugh. Ugh.
Funeral's on Sunday.
Yeah, I'll be there. I'll be there. I'm really kind of... I'm actually...
You're going to watch it.
Well, now I have to.
You're going
to
watch it.
I have to, because I have to see if he dies. I don't want to watch... I legitimately don't want to watch someone die, though. Because that's terrible.
Pretty awful.
Yes.
The only thing worse would be watching someone be raped by a tree. I'm pretty sure.
But you've already seen that.
I've already seen that so many times. I see that like on just a normal Tuesday night.
That's what happens when you desensitize yourself to life. You have to keep chasing after more and more extreme sensations.
Did you ever see that documentary, The Bridge, about the people who kill themselves off the Golden Gate Bridge?
Heard about it.
I didn't watch that because I didn't want to see people jump off a bridge.
Yeah, I guess some people live though, so it's supposed to be this like inspiring thing.
Yeah,
well, you should have jumped off the bridge. They say that when you... And now we're getting a little dark. They say that, you know, when you kill yourself that way, when you jump off something high, many times these people are manic depressive, so you have chemical imbalances. The adrenaline and the fear that jerks into your system when you jump, usually... The people that survive, what happens is, from the adrenaline to jumping, it almost corrects the brain chemistry, so almost immediately you feel better, and all of a sudden you don't want to die now. But it's too late. But those who live, they always say that as soon as they jumped, all of a sudden they regretted it immediately, And
that's a long way down.
Yeah. They just need to tightrope the Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. They should do it then. And then if they live through the tightrope walk, then they'll know.
Like, is he going to at least have one of those big long poles to balance yourself?
I think you got it, don't you? Don't you need a big pole to balance
yourself? Yeah,
you got it. Well, the biggest question is not necessarily the height. And, you know, if you can walk a tightrope if you can walk a tightrope 5 feet above the ground, there's no reason why you shouldn't be able to walk a tightrope 500 feet above the ground. It's the same act of balancing. But, yeah, it's the wind, and it's all those random bits of, what if, like, an eagle or a vulture flies into his head?
Yeah, there's nature and shit.
How are they going to get the rope tight enough?
I was wondering
that. It's like a mile long.
That's a long canyon.
We can send a man to the moon. We get a rope tight enough.
Just tie it to your car. Just wind
it. All right, put it in reverse. Just keep it going. Keep it tight.
Well, now, to be fair, this guy has done stunts like this before. He walked across Niagara Falls, which I'd imagine is also... Well, I've been there. It's very windy there, too. But now I feel you're just pushing your luck. Where does it end? What are you going to walk across?
Between the World Trade Center.
Grand Canyon is where it ends.
Too soon.
What was that?
The Grand Canyon is where it ends.
It's where it ends. Yeah, there's nothing more. There's nothing bigger.
You go underwater and then walk across the Marianas Trench.
Yes.
I'm going to go across the Marianas Trench in a speedboat.
Yeah. That'll be my... Do you guys ever do daredevil-y things? Have you ever done anything like
skydiver,
bungee jump, things that Sean would not attend your funeral if you did them?
No, I've never felt the need to nearly lose my life.
I walked across this bridge.
Yeah.
This little pipe.
Was it a high bridge?
Yeah, it was like 50 feet up.
Oh, jeez.
I thought it was a river, but apparently it was like 2 inches. Yeah, just rocks.
Just enough to fool you. So.
I thought it was a river, but it said these jagged spikes.
Were you a kid when you did this, or was this last week?
No, this is just like 2 years ago.
Okay, so old enough to know better.
Yeah, it was dumb.
It's funny.
But I made it.
Nice. Well, you survived. We needed you here today, so you made it.
Andrew, though, wasn't so lucky.
No.
You know, it's funny because you mentioned if he was a kid, and when you're a kid, you don't know fear. Like, you don't, like, realize how dangerous things you're doing. You end up doing things as a kid that it's like you look back and you're like, oh, that could have easily, like, one wrong step and I could have fallen all the way down the Grand Canyon.
I remember being 5 years old, and at the nursery school I was at, they had a jungle gym, but it was built in the late 60s. It was just welded together pipes, and you just climbed on these pipes and they're welded together. And there was the part that you can climb on, but then there was a frame that went up about 12 feet in the air and went up and then came across with like a supporting arch. And I was a little monkey, my friend and I were, and we'd climb up the pipe and we would get to the cross beam and we were about 11, 12 feet off the ground, and then we would hang upside down, hooked on the backside of our knees, and swing back and forth like some sort of, you know, possum. And if we'd fallen, we would have fallen about 12 feet just right onto concrete. And I remember the teacher screaming and yelling, freaking out, because they couldn't get to us. And we were like, we're good. But looking back on it, man, I should not have lived.
You know, I never skydived, obviously, or bungee jumped or things like that. But I hunt men for sport. But I did... I once went white water rafting, and the thing that's interesting about that is I can't swim. So
how can you not swim?
I don't know how to swim. We must have talked about this before on the show. I don't know how to swim. You must have known this just as a friend of mine.
No, why would I ever know that you don't know how to swim?
You saw me drowning that time.
Why'd you go white water rafting? What the fuck?
Well, I was stupid and young, and I had a life vest on, so I figured if I went in the water, I'd float.
Oh my god!
But I don't know how to swim. And technically, I grew up on an island. So...
So it's Hawaii.
I went to a summer camp, a day camp. It was just like during the day. Hence, day camp. And they said, we'll teach them how to swim. No one has ever not learned how to swim here. As far as I know, I'm their only failure today. So I took swimming lessons, and I don't know how to swim. So I assume you two know how to swim.
Yeah.
Because you're normal human beings.
Who had responsible parents have made sure their child
doesn't
swim.
My mother doesn't know how to swim. My father knows how to swim.
What the fuck? Valley College, go. Sign up for lessons.
I'm not going to sign up for swimming lessons now. I'm past the point. I'm like old dog.
You and the four-year-olds.
Yeah, I can't. If I didn't learn when I was young, I'm not going to learn. However, occasionally I have girlfriends who are like, I'll teach you to swim. And then they're like, I get in a pool with them and they're in a bathing suit and then they can't teach me and I just have sex with them in the pool. So I don't mind women trying to teach me how to swim.
Just as long as they try to teach you how to drive a stick shift.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So anyway, Nick Wallendena, I just fucked up your name there. But you know what? If you live, you're still the enemy, because then you're just going to have to seek a bigger throne till you die. And if you die, you're the enemy, because you made me watch you fucking die. So, no, you know what? Fuck you. So, before we wrap up, we want to play your song, How We Woke Up. Is there anything you want to say about this song?
Yeah, so earlier we talked about the art. This is one song on the album that was highly influenced by the artwork. The lyrics, in part, came directly from the artwork. And just a lot of like the meaning that was derived from it.
Was the artwork something that had pre-existed and it inspired the album? Or is this someone that... Okay, so you saw this and you wrote the album based on...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so we found the album artwork, it didn't predate necessarily, I mean, it did, but we didn't know about it, until a little bit into the album, so not right off the beginning, but yeah, definitely was a big part.
Okay, so here we go, The Moth and the Flame, How We Woke Up.
And there's
That was terrific, guys. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. And everybody, go out there and pick up the album. If that's any indication, it's fantastic all around. So before we leave, before we get up, why don't you one more time just tell everybody where they can find you guys. Plug away.
We're going to be playing at Silver Lake Lounge every Monday this month, 10 p.m. Find us on Facebook, and our website is howwewokeup.com. Okay. And if you're going to be in the U.K. in May, you can see us at The Great Escape.
Oh, is that a music festival? So how do you, real fast, how do you ship equipment there? Do they have their own equipment? How does that work?
You take what you can as like carry-ons, and then for the most part you backline, so you'll get it out there.
Okay.
Yep.
Have you guys been to the UK before?
No, I have not.
Well, this is exciting. You guys are blowing up. You're going to another country.
Very excited.
Yeah. This is fantastic.
Yeah. Mind the gap while you're there. Mind the gap. You'll know. You'll get it when you're there.
Okay.
That's the one tip. That's the one takeaway. If you take away anything from this experience,
mind the gap, and you'll get there, and you'll see what I'm talking about, and you'll go, "Oh, now
better mind that."
Yes.
Sean, tell us what you're up to.
Well, you can buy my book on Amazon, Amazon Kindle, Triumvirs, Triumvirs, and it's the perfect post-Easter, Memorial Day gift for all your friends and loved ones. So,
there you go.
Yep, you can pick it up, get it on your e-readers, download it, share it, spread the love. You can follow me on Twitter at TheSeanDavid. You can also like my Facebook page and Instagram. Follow me there. And
don't say anything stupid.
Letterpress.
I don't even know what that is.
It's an awesome game.
Go fuck yourself. You can follow me at The Real Will Link. You can also listen to me every Tuesday at 4 p.m. on the PM show with Larry Minetti at crntalk.com. I review movies there. I try to explain movies like Spring Breakers to old people. It doesn't always go well, and it didn't. And you can also read articles of mine at the film blog You Won Can, like the city in France. And I will be performing April 26th at the Pez Show. I'm doing an essay reading, a comedic essay reading. It's going to be a great show. Friends of the podcast, Alex Alexander and Alex Stein, are also going to be performing. You can get tickets by finding the Pez Show. Go to their Facebook page. There's a link to it on our page. And call and reserve for a ticket. It's going to be fun. I guarantee it.
Fun not guaranteed.
On the show next week. Siri. She's an adult film star. As I've been saying, we've been trying to book because we wanted to. We have questions about this world. And we are going to have them all answered next week. She's been gracious enough to join us.
And we promise we will not be talking to our iPhones.
Yes, she's a real person. She's not an iPhone. She's a beautiful, busty blonde. And she's going to be sitting down with us two idiots. So we're very excited about that. And the week after that, we have Matt. Oh, I'm going to fuck up his last name. We have Matt Ingebretson.
Why do I let you do this?
Matt Ingebretson.
Ingebretson.
Ingebretson. And despite my butchering of his name, he is a very funny stand-up comic. He hosts a lot of shows around here in Los Angeles. So we're going to have him on, and he's going to be funny, and that is also guaranteed.
And he does not act in adult films, though.
He does not.
To our best of our knowledge.
To the best of our knowledge. But maybe when he hears that Siri was on the week before, he'll start to get nervous, like we discovered something about him, his other talent, so to speak. So, once again, Brandon, Mark, the Moth and the Flame, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
And welcome to Los Angeles.
Thank you.
Welcome to our city. And on that note,
we're finished.
We're finished.